It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
There's a lot to be thankful for on this Victory Monday in the city of Chicago. We've had so much fun with you for the first 3 hours. We continue to do that at 312-332-3776 for a period in the spring there when things were shut down. We didn't know if we'd ever get sports back. Not only did we get sports back, I mean, we're sitting pretty right now. Yes, there are some things to pick out in the Bears game that we didn't like, and Waddle and I have both done that. It doesn't mean you're a hater if you do it. But the Bears are fortunate to win, and they're 1-0, and they've got a winnable game on Sunday.
Listen, when you get a W in the COVID season, it's like 1.5 to 2 wins. Look, you never apologize for a W. We can have conversations about things that went wrong, but like after everything that transpired, as you mentioned, to get a W, I feel good. I'm concerned. I have some anxiety, but I feel good.
So we have the Bears at 1-0, and Mitch, like, say what you want about Mitch, and I will, because I'm not going to hold it back because it's a Victory Monday. But the one thing that we've always known is that we've always said it's not for a lack of effort. It's not because he's not a good leader. It's not because he doesn't care. When things a lot of times hit the fan, he still finds a way to get it done. Now, Waddle pointed out that they're one read throws, and there's reasons why. And Matt Patricia, it's a fireable offense if I'm a Lions talk show host these days. But I still give Mitch credit for being as bad as he was for the first 45 minutes and being able to turn it all around and get them a win.
No doubt. Deserves a lot of credit for what he did in the fourth quarter. Deserves a lot of criticism for what he did in the first three quarters.
And the big picture going forward. It's the zooming in versus zooming out mentality. Yes. Cubs in first place. They got a no-hitter from Alec Mills, the 16th ever in their history of almost 150 years. And they did it against the Milwaukee Brewers. Did you know that the only two no-hitters thrown in Miller Park were by Cubs players?
Carlos Zambrano.
And today's the anniversary of that back in 08.
There you go.
And then Alec Mills. And then the White Sox have the best record in the American League. And they open up this big series against the Minnesota Twins.
Glorious.
So again, it is glorious. That's the one word I keep looking at. And we're here for you, as we always are, on ESPN 1000 to get your reaction at 312-332-3776. Lewis in Hanover Park. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Fantastic.
Good. I'm calling because yesterday I was watching Joe Burrows and Murray play like as if they've been in the league forever. The last two-minute drill on Burrows going towards the end of the game, I think they would have won that game if they wouldn't have just settled for a field goal. Because he was on it. He was getting the ball inside pockets where I'm like, where the hell this is coming from? This kid is playing like he's been in the league for 3 years. And then you watch Mitch, and he looks hesitant to even make a pass. And even if he does complete it, he looks like he wasn't unsure if he was even going to make it there.
Well, I thought you saw a different Mitch in the fourth quarter when he was able to play loose and free, and some of the things that he does best were on display. But I think the moments that you described from... Look, Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow, I give them a lot of credit. They look good. Kyler Murray's in his second year. Joe Burrow was in his first start. They both looked good. I don't know who they'll turn out to be. I'm focused on our quarterback, and in year four, I still see things, or I saw things, Lewis, in the first 45 minutes of the game that leave you concerned. So again, credit where credit is due. But also, there was nothing different. It was more of the same.
Has this ever been said about Mitch? He has all the tools, but he doesn't have the toolbox. Like, he's an athlete. He's got a strong arm, but when it comes upstairs to the toolbox, there's something that eludes him.
Well, accuracy is also an issue, and that's you know, as physical as anything. Accuracy is an issue. Look, it's what I've said for all along. Like, you put on the film and you see what he did in the fourth quarter. We've seen that before, okay? We've seen some of that where you get behind. I gave you the examples of the Eagles, the Saints. the Green Bay game, the second Green Bay game. When you dig yourself such a big hole, a defense exhales a little bit. And then you got nothing to lose, so you come back and you put some stats and some numbers together, and it doesn't look as bad at the end of the day, at least on the stat sheet, as it did watching it. Like, visually, what we saw for the first 45 minutes yesterday was it was unwatchable. And then bad defense with a big lead, that's a tough combo for that team. And then they're without their top three cornerbacks. Now Mitch can get out there and make some plays. Like I said, two of the touchdown passes were one read throws. The first touchdown to Wims was a fantastically designed play. Mitch executed it perfectly and made a good throw. There is credit to be given, but the concern exists when teams force you to play from the pocket. And better team, that effort yesterday, and I'll lump in the defense, that effort yesterday gets you beat by 29 other teams.
Yeah, and we talked about the 426 yards the defense has allowed, allowing another bad team like the Raiders last year to march down the field, and they should have won. The Raiders did last year. A lot of it needs to be cleaned up.
You can chew gum, which... The part of chewing gum is to acknowledge that it was a W, and these W's are hard to get, and we're not apologizing for them. And you can walk at the same time. And that walking part is acknowledging that some of the same concerns that we've had for the last 12 months were on display in the first three quarters of that game yesterday.
Max on the south side. Hey, Max, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's an honor to speak with you guys.
Max.
Did you guys happen to notice that the Bears' luck changed right after that Minnesota Viking doink?
Which one? The luck changed when?
When the Minnesota Vikings had that double doink, the single doink field goal.
The Lions are you talking about? Are you talking about the 55-yarder?
Or are you talking about the Eagles playoff game?
I'm all messed up, man. Yeah, it was the Lions yesterday, not the Vikings. Sorry, I'm nervous.
No worries. So when Prater hit the upright.
Yep, that right. At that point, all the luck for the Bears changed right after that point. I was wondering if anyone else happened to notice that.
Well, that to me is a self-inflicted Detroit Lions wound. Because while I believe Prater was 5 of 6 or 6 of 7 last year from beyond 50, the risk-reward of that, to me, wasn't worth kicking it. And I think when they were lining up for it, I sent you guys a text and said, if it was me, I kick the ball deep and I make the Bears go the length of the field, especially when you're without your top linebacker and you're without three of your starting cornerbacks.
Wait, like, again, the risk versus reward, that puts them up 13, right? They were up 10 at the time.
Correct.
And if you hit it, you're up 13, which it's still a two-score game.
Yeah.
It doesn't put you up by three scores. So two touchdowns still beat you. And then if I was a Lions fan, and it probably would have happened before today, I would have demanded that Matt Patricia be fired.
Let me ask you a question. If you're Matt Patricia and your defense has the injuries that they have, they were down to like a handful of guys. Their top three corners were out. Jeff Okuda was out to start, didn't even dress. His starting two corners go out with injury. Jamie Collins, or Jimmy, depending on what Dick Stockton wants to say to you,
What'd you think of that, by the way?
I thought it was a silly decision on his behalf. You don't ever touch an official. But in my opinion, it's a 15-yard penalty. You tell him don't do it anymore, and you let him stay in the game. I think kicking him out was a bit of an ump show.
Yeah.
But listen, if you're Matt Patricia, you've got to have that in your brain. That my defense is, I'm playing guys that normally wouldn't play. So I can't afford, even though Matt Prater is an excellent kicker, we're indoors and he's got a big leg. If we do miss it, we're giving this offense that has struggled the majority of the game a short field.
A jump start, yeah.
So what you want to do is pin him back, kick it even through the end zone on your punt, and make him go 80 yards.
Black, when you get a chance, if you could, I know Carmen and Yurko played it, the map of Patricia from his post game. I want to play that when we have a moment because they hate him in Detroit, and he just keeps on giving snarky answers.
I think one of the reporters asked him if his coaching style and all of the comebacks.
Has led to all that. Right. I'll play that
here,
in a minute.
Here you go. You want to play now?
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout really your tenure here, you've had fourth quarter leads and lost them. Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening enough in the fourth quarter for you to close out games?
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that. I think we all know what the individual games are. We got to do a better job. I mean, we've got a team right now that's different than the previous 2 years. This team is different. They're different players, and they have a different mindset. You know, we look, no excuses. Give the Bears credit. You know, they did what they did, and they executed, and they scored, and they won, and we didn't. But, you know, I'm not looking back. We're looking forward, and we're trying to make sure that this team that we're building on, you know, understands these situations, and we got to come through better than what we did before.
He's obviously referencing the Butler interception against the Seahawks.
When
they
should have run the ball, right? Like, it's not so easy when you don't have Bill Belichick.
Right.
You know, you could bring Jamie Collins over. You could bring all the ex-Patriots you want. But
I couldn't understand, Sylvie, why they were throwing the football. Your biggest enemy in that game was time. Your defense is decimated by injury. Why aren't you running the football? Instead, they're throwing the football, and Akeem Hicks comes up with a sack that brings them out of relative field goal range. I couldn't understand. Like, and I understand he's a defensive coach, but whoever, is it Daryl Bevel who's their yes. offensive coordinator? Like, the directive to him is run the damn football, make the clock run, and give them less of an opportunity to come back. And no, they're chucking the ball.
Ryan in Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, oh, long time caller, first time listener.
Thank you, Ryan.
Does anyone there feel Nagy has been mandated to make Mitch the starter by Pace and ownership, since the GM notes his future is forever tied with picking Turd Biscuit? And as such, Nagy kept Mitch in, hoping to show Pace what a buffoon he was for forcing this decision. And Mitch flipped the script on everybody. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Simple answer is no. I don't believe. I don't believe that. Sylvie, you can elaborate. I don't believe that it was an ultimatum coming down from the GM.
What I think? I think Ryan Pace didn't lie to us at the end of December when he told us Mitch is a starter.
I don't. I see. I'm going to go on the other. Ryan Pace is in charge of the roster. The coach is in charge of who plays. If that relationship is ever breached, then you've got a poisoned situation.
George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Georgie.
I'm very hopeful for the season after what I saw. You know, I think Mitch has been playing scared. The offensive line's been terrible for 3 years. I'm not throwing it all on the offensive line. Mitch, there's nothing to worry about. You can step up into the pocket. The guys, you got the right guy at center calling out the plays. The guys are stepping up. You don't have to play the Packers or the Vikings till mid-November. You can be on a roll as a team. You just got to win next week. Hopefully Pittsburgh beats up on the Giants this week or tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. Listen, I thought Matt had a good day yesterday, and I was a big critic of Matt last season. I thought Matt did a better job. If you noticed, a lot of the pass plays that were called, even in the first three quarters, that weren't executed properly, there was very few, it felt like, drop-back passes. A lot of the passing game was as a result of play-action pass. So when you dedicate yourself to running the football, at the very least, even if you're not good at play-action, you're going to hold those linebackers in a safety because you have to make them honor the run. And I thought Matt did a nice job. I was the idiot screaming less cute, more nasty. I didn't think Matt tried to out-cute anybody yesterday.
I didn't write down one thing that I was pissed at Nagy about.
No, I thought his formations were good. He used his tight ends. They ran the football. Even when they were down 17, you know what he did? He stayed committed to running the football, and that takes pressure off of his quarterback. And then the passing, there wasn't a lot of Mitch in the shotgun. Pure drop back passing. A lot of it came off of run fakes, and I'd like to see even more get him out on the edge. Not just run fakes and this kind of like half boots. Get his ass all the way outside the tackle box.
All right. Where's your mind today after yesterday's win? Is it that you're just enjoying a win and you want no one to rain on your parade or pee in your Cheerios? Or do you still see some of the issues? Waddle, you told us some stories about Mitch in the past. I want to bring you back to a prior Mitch game.
Okay.
And I believe we're in this situation because of one game and one game only. That story coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Cheers Monday on Waddle and Sylvie, brought to you by our great friends at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. It's a victory Monday. I've waited 3 hours and 20 minutes, Waddle, because I didn't want to dampen anybody's day today. You know, Sylvie's going to be all negative.
Pee on everyone's parade.
It's a, yeah, can't you guys just enjoy a win? Why does everybody have to hate the Bears players so much? Get out of here. Let me just tell you about one game. We're in this position, Waddle. Black, Abdallah.
I know where you're going. Go ahead.
I even pulled up articles from this game.
Yeah, I know you.
We are in this position.
Take us to El Paso, Sylvie.
In 2020, all because of one lousy bowl game, all the way back on December 30th, 2016. This all has to do with the Sun Bowl. And do you know what happened in the Sun Bowl the day that Ryan Pace was wowed? Remember when he sat in the stands because he didn't want anybody to know that he was scouting Mitch?
They lost that game, didn't they?
They lost. And do you know how bad Mitch was for the first three quarters in that game? By the way, does that sound like a trend
Lions
to you?
Bad?
What's that?
Lions bad?
Well, the point is here that I wanted to bring this up is this is not a 2020 issue. This isn't just a 2016 issue. It's kind of the Cubs won the freaking World Series, and yet everyone's tired of their slumping bats and say, we've seen this for 3 years. When will people just understand they don't hit in the clutch? Mitch has never delivered like the Cubs, but he's always given you this pattern of behavior. If you don't know what happened in the Sun Bowl game where Ryan Pace sat in the stands and he wanted to go rogue. They were playing a Stanford team without their best player, McCaffrey. Remember, McCaffrey sits out that game because he doesn't want to ruin his draft stock. Okay?
Right.
North Carolina lost 25-23. Mitch Trubisky going into the fourth quarter had two interceptions and a fumble in that game. But do you know what he did late in that game? He drove North Carolina down 95 yards on an unlikely drive to put the game within two, within a two-point conversion of pulling that game out. And they ended up losing that game. Ryan Pace came to the conclusion that, oh my gosh, Mitch is so good that even in his bad games, he still finds a way to put his team in position to win. But in fact, what happened that day is the exact opposite, and we continue to see it in 2020. It's the opposite that is true. It's that Mitch is so bad in the first three quarters, he has to dig himself out of his own mess in the fourth quarter. And that's what the common thing here. It's not that, hey, Mitch has this gene to come back. It's that he's been doing this since his only year in college. And he fooled people then, and it's the only reason why we have him instead of Mahomes and instead of Watson. And in 2020, if you're still fooled by this guy, that he could have three bad quarters and you still think that by one good quarter it's going to turn it all around, then shame on you. Because he's been doing this for five damn years now.
Preach.
And he is not the long-term answer. And you can have your victory Monday, and I love wins. And I want to celebrate with you. But I can't get behind this guy. Because it's not about confidence.
Preach.
It's not about athleticism. It's not about being too big for the moment. He's just not that good.
I give you again. I gave you the same. Spot on. You know what? I agree with your assessment. I thought it was very well delivered. I thought it was very well thought out. It's based in fact. And it's not a personal attack. And it doesn't make you a hater. You know what it makes you? A football analyst. That's what you're supposed to do, is look at this stuff and come to a conclusion about it. What are you laughing at about in there?
Because that would then suggest someone who goes the oppo way would not be a football analyst. And
yes,
I
that's
agree.
Our GM.
Subscribe.
Well, okay. Yeah.
So we keep going back to the well, guys.
I gave you the example of the Saints game last year, which was a complete hot mess, dumpster fire, whatever. But at the end of the day, Mitch had 260 yards passing, two touchdowns, and no interceptions because they got so far down. The only thing they could do is come back against a team that had exhaled defensively. And then when it got anywhere close to close, then they closed them out. I will now give you the Green Bay Packers game, second game from last year, where the Bears went into the fourth quarter down 21-3. Do you remember that game in Green Bay?
No, I blacked out.
They scored 10 points to end up losing that game 21-13. And at the end of the day, you're like, well, it wasn't that bad. You lost by a touchdown in Green Bay. It was that bad. Your eyes told you the first three quarters of that game were a disaster.
But that's you what, score that's 10, the common
see,
thing here.
That's my point. And it happens all the time, and we get fooled by it.
So well, I watched that exact same bowl game, right? And I wasn't watching it being like, hey, like I joked earlier in Good Bad Dream, like keep your eye on Sam Ehlinger because he's going to be the next Bears quarterback. I wasn't watching the Sun Bowl for the Mitchell Trubisky comeback. I was watching it for Solomon Thomas.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sitting there like, I swear to God, if the Bears don't draft this kid, because the same thing happened. The North Carolina had a chance for a 2-point conversion, and Solomon Thomas, in a meaningless bowl game, who knows he's going to be a top 5 pick, up and just wrecked a dude to stop the 2-point conversion. And I was like, that's it. I love, like, it's Solomon Thomas or bust. Like, this, you got to get this kid.
Right.
And obviously, he hasn't played that well, but ultimately, like, that's who we all thought we were watching that game for. Little did we know.
Listen to this, guys. This is from Bucky Brooks, who's a scout for NFL Network, and he's on the air. I'll tweet out this article. I read this today. This is his first paragraph from 2016 after that game. The stage was set for North Carolina quarterback Mitch Trubisky to continue his meteoric rise with a spectacular performance against Stanford in the Sun Bowl on Friday. But the junior's disappointing showing in a 25-23 loss will leave evaluators with more questions than answers when assessing the talented dual threat playmaker. 5 years later, dudes,
same thing.
We're still talking about having more questions than answers. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. This is him.
Now, I will give you the Eagles game from last season. And if it gets repetitive, screw off, because this is reality. How about that? In that game, if you remember it, it was hideous. They were down 19-0. It was the Bears for the game had 164 total yards. With 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, they scored a touchdown to make it 19-7. They scored another touchdown. It's 19-14. And then Jake Elliott kicks a 38-yard field goal, and the Eagles walk away 22-14 winners. At any point in that game where the Eagles had 26 first downs and the Bears had 10, and the Eagles had 40 minutes and 18 seconds of time of possession, and the Bears had 19 minutes and 42. Was there any time in that game where you thought legitimately that the Bears were going to beat the Eagles?
No.
At the end of the day, it's an 8-point win, and it doesn't look as bad as maybe it did for the first half. My point is we've seen this before, and I'm just supporting what your presentation was outlining beautifully. We've seen it, and that's why I think we all high-five one another. W's. These are great. It was fantastic. But keep your eye on the ball, because we saw a lot more of what we've seen already that leads us to be itchy and scratchy.
Harding in Charlotte, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Harding.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I got a question of position to you. So we understand Mr. Trubisky has his difficulty with the second and third reads and reading a defense. So I would wonder, with that particular skill set missing, how does Ryan Pace not see that, or a scouting team not see that in a quarterback? Is that not the equivalent of trying to hire a musician that can't read a sheet of music? That particular skill set would probably be a number one priority if you're looking to draft a quarterback. Sylvie, you have a problem with Mr. Trubisky because you know he doesn't deserve to be the Bears quarterback. You know for a fact there were quarterbacks better that could have fit the Bears, despite what all the scouts said. I don't care that 31 scouts said Mr. Trubisky was the best quarterback out of that class. The only thing that mattered to me was the Bears scout team got that wrong.
Right, yes.
So everybody else getting that wrong makes no difference to me.
Amen.
But I just want to understand that. And then Matt Nagy not scripting to the quarterback's strength. You don't have a cerebral quarterback, Matt Nagy. I don't know what you're doing. You don't have that. Stop scripting to a player you don't have on your roster. So I just wonder, guys, like, what is going on with the mindset of all three of those individuals involved in that situation? Hang up and listen.
Harding, it's great. I mean, it's a great question.
Yeah, I want you to dissect that coming up. And Mark Jean Greco's in the First Midwest Bank studio. You can talk to Marky, 312-332-3776. Let's load up your phone calls. Waddle's going to answer Harding's question coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Our Twitch channel gets even better when Mark Jean Greco unbuttons the white button-down shirt.
No, don't take your pants
off.
No,
I'm all zipped up this time.
Are you good?
And the belly button's covered.
I want you to bring back the... remember when you used to wear the dress shirts that put your tie in the witness protection program?
The Goodfellas collars?
You couldn't see the knot on your tie because the collar was so big.
No, that's really not in style
Not
anymore.
In style anymore. Yeah. But just do it one time
I could
time
bring
for
it
me.
Back. We could do all Vegas week.
Please do it. One time, wear that
I think I got a few left in the back of the closet.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what do you do with the stuff that goes out of style? Do you get rid of it or do you save it in case?
No. I go Goodwill, Salvation Army. Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
By the way, Marky is always brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse with Sound the River. Simply the best. David Flom, Andy Moore going to roll out the red carpet for you.
Good night to go out and sit on the patio.
It's a perfect night tonight. You know, I really wasted yesterday. I watched 9 hours of football.
That's not a waste.
No.
But
you took advantage.
What you need to do is you watch the Bear game in its entirety, and then go out and lose, catch the highlights later, maybe catch the late game. I've seen every frame of every game 55 times.
Don't you feel great?
I used to do that. I used to do that every Sunday, and now I'm like, man, I need a little break here. But
if you want to go out and do that now, do it now, because at some point the weather's going to be so bad, you're not going to be able to do it.
So I'm laying on the couch for 9 hours watching football and just lighting up all the Twitter trolls. Oh, they were after me yesterday because I'm doing real time,
evaluation.
Play by play evaluation. So at the end of the day,
Mitch
sucked for 3+ quarters, and then all of a sudden, Mitch is Mitch for 3+ quarters. And then the Lions are the Lions for the fourth quarter. That's the game. Bears defense. That's a major concern. Okay, so at the end of the game, everybody's like, yeah, Jean Greco, you suck. Yeah, what's it taste like? Crow, eating crow. I said, the crow is in the fridge. And I'll bring it out. If he can play well for 4 or 5 games straight, I'll eat the beaks, the feet, the feathers, everything. But
we all want to see him do things for an entire 60 minutes.
I heard you today say it all. Yesterday was fool's gold. Consistency is the issue. If Mitch continues to dig a hole, then all of a sudden he's great in a 2-minute and he's flying around with his hair on fire. And, he stepped into that throw to Anthony Miller. That was perfect.
Yes.
Anthony Miller made a great catch.
So one read, stick it, throw.
Against a backup DB, the Lions secondary lost 2 starters during that game. You have to take that into consideration. You have to. Look, you want to root for your hometown team. You want to root for your quarterback. But I just feel like this is going to go on and on and on. We're going to see flashes of Mitch when he doesn't have to think. Doesn't have to go through his progressions. And we're just going to be teased again and again and again. Look, they'll beat the Giants. They're terrible. Okay? So it's going to extend this thing even more and
more.
Well,
you want to win games, though, Mark. I mean, look, they could still win games. And who knows? Maybe Foles takes over. Like, they've got the Giants at Atlanta. We saw them get crushed yesterday.
Maybe.
By a good Seattle team. Indy lost to Jacksonville. You've got them at home.
I don't want to make too much of this game.
Sylvie, I think you make the best analogy of all. It's like you create this crevice. You didn't fall into it by accident. You created it.
Yeah.
Like you spent 45 minutes with a giant shovel digging a hole, and then you're in the hole. So how much credit are we going to,
And then you're Joe in the volcano. Then boom, you're out.
But then you pull yourself out of a self-inflicted crevice. How am I supposed to feel?
Look, you can't put too much on this game. Obviously, this was a preseason game that they won. It's a preseason game that counted, and they won it.
Well,
against a really, really, really bad team.
All right, your calls with Mark Jean Greco, 312-332-3776. Mike on the Kennedy, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, guys. Love to hear you guys. But I'll be honest with you, and I know it's going to sound like I'm a Mitch supporter. I'm not. I just think that it's and I think, Gian Greco, you just said it there. It was like a preseason game. So did we expect him to come out and hit every guy? And I know he's not been accurate in years past. But let me ask you something. In all the 3 years that he's been playing, what are his best games? And in my opinion, it's when they get behind and the coach changes the game plan, which means they make him throw on a more consistent basis because they're behind. When he does that, he gets into a rhythm. It's when they come out and the coach is more afraid about his confidence being hurt, and they run, throw one. That's when he's not at his best. And at the same time, please, instead of harping on this guy all the time, let's realize about this defense. This defense, when it was great, was not great because they stopped guys on fourth down. It was because they took turnover or they made turnovers. Last year, the turnovers went away. We couldn't stop it. Yesterday's game, if that guy doesn't drop the ball, was the spitting image of the Raiders game. Mitch comes by, comes back. We take the lead. The Raiders go down the field 80 or 90 yards, and they win the game.
Mitch didn't play in the Raiders game. Mitch wasn't in the Raiders game in London last year. Wasn't that Chase Daniel? Chase Daniel played quarterback in the Raiders
game. I think the Raiders went 95 yards on the Bears defense that game.
Right, and it was to end the game. They couldn't stop them. And think about it. They couldn't stop them yesterday when they had to stop them. My point is this. If they don't get the turnovers, they don't stop people on downs. When they were great that year when we went to the playoffs, they stopped people by taking the ball away, not because they stopped them on three downs and made them punt. And that's been their MO since then. If they don't get the turnover, they don't stop a team. That's the problem.
And they got both yesterday. They did get, to their credit, they did at least force that turnover down a score, and that's what gave them the lead.
That was a Stafford turnover. He's firing and into coverage, and the thing pops in the air.
In my power list of things that I'm most concerned about, the defense is below the quarterback play.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what we've been saying all night and all day. I agree with the caller. He's right. We've been saying that all day long. It's a major concern.
Elmhurst Steve has been patient. Steve, you're on ESPN 1000.
You know, one of the things that we're not getting a lot of talk so far about is the weekend the Cubs had, and it was really a very important one, in my opinion. The game on Saturday, I think, Jason Hayward's three-run home run, probably the biggest hit of the season. You could see the team was kind of, you know, they're losing, they're leading the division. It seemed like things were slipping away. And that game, another game, you know, two back-to-back where they're going to get shut out, it looked like. And then he hits this three-run homer, the biggest dong of the year, I'd say. I think it turned things around, not just for that game, but for the team. And then you come out, and this is so encouraging the way Mills pitched in back-to-back outings. His outing before this was also very good, and the way he started the season was really encouraging. Then he kind of had a little period where he wasn't pitching quite as well, and it looked like, I don't know, maybe this guy isn't going to be in the rotation if they make it to the playoffs. He looks like he's not pitching all that well. They've adjusted to him. And now he's had back-to-back really good outings, and Lester had a good outing, even though they lost that game 1-0. So all of a sudden, the pitching is looking a whole lot better, and I'm just feeling a whole lot more encouraged by this team right now.
You should. And you know what? It's going great for all three teams, and we're trying to jam it all in. We really are. This is first and foremost a Bears town. That was the season opener. That's your lead. But, man, the no-hitter was spectacular. Alec Mills, great story. You know, 22nd rounder, Tennessee Martin, you know, had no shot at the bigs. And look at that. It's a great feel-good story. The Sox sweep the Tigers. I mean, Cubs Sox on a collision course to the World Series. It could be insane.
Yeah.
And if the Bears actually do somehow get it together, it's going to be a juggle for us, and it's going to be a fun juggle.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy.
No doubt.
Eddie on the north side. Say hi to Mark Jean Greco, Eddie.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good,
and all
Eddie.
You guys there. But after that last call, it's like, wait, baseball? I was like, okay, whatever. Like, the baseball.
See,
baseball,
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going
to
go there.
Listen to me. It's a joke. And, you know, seven innings on double headers. And, okay. But anyway,
the baseball show coming
that
up in 15 minutes, by the way.
Yeah. Everybody said the same thing about Eli Manning. And I'm not a Trubisky fan, believe me. But Manning got pounded and pounded. But if he could somehow win a Super Bowl, Like Manning won two of them. I don't even give a crap what he does and when he does it. But anyways, that thing. But as Mark said, you can't pound on Brady because it was an exhibition game. And when you have a new team like that and you go into the Saints territory, it's hard to win a game. And I thought they put up a pretty good fight. But here's the main thing. I did a bet on Rivers. It was Trubisky, Foles combined 35 touchdowns, okay?
Jeez,
to go over, okay, for every 25, you get back 500. So I don't know. He's got three already. What was it, 17 regular season? So I'm figuring two touchdowns a game might get me there.
16 regular season games this year.
Hey, you're making my head hurt, Eddie.
Sylvie, hey, battle the fight, man, and I love
you, Eddie.
And hope everything's good, and you guys are great. I want to golf with you guys one day. I used to be really good at one time. Both of my girls golfed at Taft High School, and I tried to help them out to the thing, but maybe one day we'll golf together. All right,
there
you guys
go,
have a great
Eddie,
night, man.
Okay, Eddie.
Right.
It was Eddie just had everything in
wow.
there.
I'll tell you what, field.
That was really a stretch with the Eli Manning comparison. But
if he wins the Super Bowl, if Mitch Trubisky wins the Super Bowl, okay, like Eli Manning did, even just once, not twice, once, I will dress as Mitch Trubisky for a full month everywhere I go.
And will you walk from the studio to your house?
Yes.
Okay.
I will do in full Mitch Trubisky gear.
Oh, God.
And I will wear the helmet. I will go out to dinner wearing a helmet when the pandemic is better.
God, you're really
going to
make me
better.
Cheer for him now.
Well, I mean, like, I hope, like, people think it's a hate thing.
It's not a hate thing.
No.
It's what it is. You can't sugarcoat it, you
Again,
know?
Again, Mark, I call it walking and chewing gum at the same time. Walking is acknowledging that the W was great. To get a win, regardless of how you got it, is fantastic. Chewing the gum is recognizing that there are some issues that create anxiety in me about what I saw. I can do both.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
you
all.
Hit
no
a, and by the way,
Victory Monday, just tuned in. It sounds like the Bears lost, Waddle.
Yeah. Oh, man, I was getting ripped all over social media. But I love
but,
it.
But, like, I don't understand. Like, and I, you know what? I'm going to spank myself. And I'm going to do
wow.
that on Twitch.
Oh.
I'm going to spank myself in the backside for even entertaining that conversation. But it's like such a silly thought that you can't have two thoughts on one topic.
Why
like
not?
All I can do is applaud and not recognize any of the crap that I saw for 45 minutes. Or defensively, stuff that...
That's why you're the voice of reason and the great mediator that you are. By the way, the Tom Brady thing, thank you. Yeah.
Get
By the way,
Twitch.
The Brady
Get that
thing...
Screen. Someone needs to capture that. Capture that,
What
Twitch.
Just happened? I didn't have the Twitch on.
Was
screen
spanking off. Himself.
I was spanking myself.
I think we got it downstairs. We'll get it. But
All right. Can you make a
thing,
gif out of that?
Yes, I will. The Brady thing, I love seeing him throwing picks and getting sacked.
Well,
you know
of course,
me, I love
you're a Buffalo
it.
Guy.
But I don't want Belichick to win more games than the Bucs. So I'm really torn there. You know, they'll
Your
get
Bills
it together.
Look good though.
They look good for a half, then they let the Jets back in the game, which is a little disturbing because Josh Allen's
bad.
Got a lot of Mitch in him. So, but he's a much better runner.
I got a broadcast question for you. You're the expert.
Oh, yeah.
All your phone calls for Mark Gene Greco coming up 332-3776.
Hey, this hour is brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Marky, how does Dick Stockton continue to get work?
How does Dick Stockton continue to get work?
Yeah, it's tough. I was really harsh on him. I said he was a senile mummy. But
that's harsh.
That's really harsh. But, you know, I'm going to be there pretty soon myself, except I'm not going to be on TV or on the radio then. I'll be retired.
You're still sharp as a tack.
No, I feel bad for him and Jonathan Vilma.
So bad that you went on Twitter and called him a senile mummy.
Yeah, see, but that's me being a bad guy. But he's so bad. I mean, I felt bad for him when he called Montgomery Robinson and they tried to say Houston Texans. And he said the Texas team from Houston. Then he was reading a promo for Fox's new show, the spinoff of The Mask Singer. It's called I Can See Your Voice. And he's like, can I see your voice tonight on Fox? I mean, he's all over the place. But he started out okay because, hey, I remember Dick Stockton in his heyday on CBS.
He was great, voice,
great delivery. You love his rapid-fire cadence. But please, and don't put him on camera. Oh, my God. I was like, wow.
No more.
You know what he is? He's the ghost of Christmas future for me. So that's just a warning.
Sebastian in Bolingbrook. You're on with Mark Gene Greco, Sebastian.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Mark Gene, before I get to my topic really quickly, I love your honesty and your brutal honesty on that reporter. so, guys, I mean, you kind of hit the nail all day. Like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And, okay, this is the fourth year in Mitch's tenure. Like, we're running the same thing and we're seeing the same thing over and over again. When does it become like, okay, he's just not the guy and he's never going to be the guy? It's hard to say. Like, I wanted Foles to start. I know he can run the offense, but he's not as, like, call me crazy, but Mitch has more potential than Foles. But Mitch can't, like you guys said, the toolbox earlier, he can't put it together. He can't put the treehouse together. He can't set his feet. He can't process what's going on in front of him. Another thing, you can't run an offense with him running bootleg all the time because that's not going to work into his 30s. Like, that's just not sustainable. I'll hang up and listen. I love you guys. Have a good rest of your day, Mark. I'm really happy you defeated cancer. I love you, man. Have a good rest of your night. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Sebastian. Yeah, I mean, we keep going round and round and round and round. And
listen,
the answer is this is going to come from Nagy and the McCaskies.
My same response. I can have two. Again, I'm thrilled they won, especially in the COVID season, because these wins are going to be really hard. You don't know what's ahead. Every one of these W's feels like they're worth two wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also be scared to death by some of the stuff I saw. They set the bar at a very high spot in the 2018 season. We thought last year was just a hiccup, a step back. We're expecting them to be back to where they were in 18, aren't we? Collectively,
yes, guys? Yes.
So,
well, that's what George McCaskey said, so we're going to have to hold him to it.
Yeah.
Right. When you see things that concern you for the first 75% of the game, like I could give you, I thought the offensive line played well. I thought they ran the ball well. I thought Matt Nagy had a good day. I thought their wide receiving core shows promise to be significantly better. I thought Anthony Miller was fantastic. That Allen Robinson is his normally, you know, difference-making self. I thought the kid Mooney, the rookie, the receiver,
yeah, I was surprised at his performance. Like, pretty good. And Wims is a big guy that you got to keep in the slot. So I like that.
And they won a football game. But when your expectation isn't to be 7-9 or 8-8, you want them to be better than that.
Yeah.
You come away with things that still leave you concerned. That's the reality.
Let's sneak one more in for Marky. Tyler in Arlington Heights, say hi to Mark Gene Greco.
Hey, guys. Actually, I want to piggyback on Waddle saying, the thing that scares me about this year, besides the offense, is the defense on the interior. I think we're going to have the same issue as we did last year with Eddie Goldman opting out. The similar way that Akeem Hicks got hurt last year, that, like, you look at the Lions, they ran right up the middle and we couldn't do anything. I know Robert Quinn on the edge would help, but again, up the middle, I just feel like we're weak because we don't have that type of quality depth at that in the middle.
No, it's a good call, Tyler. And listen, like, Danny Trevathan to me has been one of Nagy's really good signings. It wasn't his best day.
Yeah, no.
I'm a Danny Trevathan guy.
I know you are. We were going to go there, too. Yeah, man.
And he did not have a good day. But as I said about the entire defense, my expectation is they're going to be significantly better against the Giants than they were against the Lions. My guess is this was the exception to the rule, not the, you know, what we're going to see throughout the season.
Yeah, the interior of that D-line was such a concern that Adrian Peterson looked like he was still on the Vikings in his heyday. And you know, when he was running for the Redskins, when they were the Redskins, he looked really slow and wasn't hitting the hole. And he really had a burst in that game. But I think it was due to...
They got a lot to clean up. They got the W. They've got a lot to clean up.
All right, much more on this tomorrow. And Marky, we will talk to you on Wednesday. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
And thanks to our great partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they bring you Mark Gene Greco. Check them out. LaSalle on the River, hey, David Flom, and Maddie Moore are absolutely awesome.
By the way, remember, people, the baseball show's up next, and the fellas have Alec Mills as their guest.
Yeah. Mr. No-Hitter. Black and Abdallah coming up in 2 short minutes. The only guest we needed, and he's not really a guest, is Mark Jean Greco. We talked to you on this Victory Monday the way it should be. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. For Mark and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.